makeup that you can. All right? Wear it. Be happy. Cover all your bits, but wear that makeup, okay? A religious person I know back in the day, and I'm not saying negative things, but the best thing for church is you come out of here and you understand what was said to you. I know when I was a little girl, Dad used to preach at a certain church, and they would say, now, Brother Angelo, don't you come down here in a short-sleeved shirt. We want you wearing a white shirt, long-sleeved. And that's what they wanted him to wear. Okay. How many of you know when you get to heaven, God is not concerned with what length your shirt was? Okay. I think we all understand what I've just said. Now we can begin to read. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for your word. God, I'm not going to ask you to bless your word, but God, I ask that you'd bless your people right now. Bless them with understanding, God. Open up their heart to receive what you'd have for them today. Lord, I ask that people leave here changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Luke chapter 7, I'm going to start at verse 36. And it says, now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house, and he reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. And I'm going to stop right there. There are times in the Bible where the Bible will mention people by name. And then there are times where the Bible will mention people by the kind of people that they were. The leper. Hi, sonny. What you doing? Love you. You go to class and be a good boy, okay? See you later. Yeah, baby. I'm preaching. You know, God tells us to come to him just like that. Just like that. Kids can keep it real. They'll be honest with you. And I've learned you can... Your best life is when you can live it honestly. And so they call this woman out and they say, when a woman who had lived a sinful life. They didn't call her by her name. They just said, that sinner. So the point is she was a known sinner. She was a known sinner. And I find it funny because I honestly think everybody's a sinner. I mean, am I saved? Yes. Do I love God? Absolutely. Do I still sin? Yes, I do. Do I like it when I do? No, I don't. That would be like saying, here comes the redhead. Here comes the brown-haired. Here comes the skinny one. Here, the Bible pinpointed this woman out as a sinful woman. So she had a reputation. And so I believe that the woman, it says here in verse 37, when a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. So this woman, how many of you know what people say about you a lot of times? You know. We all have an inclination of, if somebody's going to be talking about us, a lot of times we kind of know the flavor of what they're going to say. A lot of times when I go to Walmart, I'll see somebody watching me, and they're always shocked because I don't just go to Walmart looking like this every day. Okay? That's too much work. Not going to do it. And if I can get away with going in a Walmart that's not in this town, all the more better. And so I'll see somebody looking at me, and I'll just look at them, and they'll say, are you that one pastor, the little blonde? And yes. But I believe that the woman knew what everybody thought about her. She was aware that she was a sinner. The problem is when the believer, the Christian, the goody two-shoes, they don't believe that they're a sinner. That's a problem for me. It's a problem for God. You better know who you are, and you better understand that you're not any better than anybody else. Because when you start to think in that, you'll start judging people for doing the exact same thing that you're doing. And so I believe that the woman knew that she would be judged. I believe that she knew that she would be looked down upon before she ever went. And notice that the Bible didn't call her by her name, called her a sinner. And so it says here that she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. Now, Lord, in Jesus' name, help us to soak up your word. I speak to hindrances and distractions right now in the name of Jesus. And I just take authority of this service right now. So the alabaster jar had perfume in it, but the perfume itself was not alabaster. Alabaster is what the jar was made up out of. So here's the alabaster jar, and the sinner came to the Pharisee's house, the one that would look down on her. She knew she was going to be looked down upon. She came anyways. She went anyways. What does that tell you about her? That tells you that she had the type of character that even though she knew that how low that she was, even though she knew that she was a straight-up sinner and everybody knew that about her, she still had something inside of her that said, I don't care what I am, I care who he is, and I'm going to him. There's so many times where guilt about who you are and what you did holds you back. And you won't go where you need to go. You won't do what you need to do. You won't be who you're supposed to be. You won't say what you're supposed to say. A lot of times, people have the wisdom inside of them, but because they feel so bad about what they did, they won't allow themselves to speak into another person's life and help that person by instruction just because they're afraid that that person's going to think that they're a hypocrite for calling something out in them. Let me tell you something. Don't get mad when somebody loves you enough that they'll say, hey, I did what you're doing, and it was not good. It cost me a lot of things in my life. But see, this lady, she knew what she was. She knew that everybody else knew what she was, and she went to God anyways. She went to Christ anyways. And guilt, one of the things that you cannot let guilt do is keep you in a place where you feel awful about yourself all the time. Guilt wants to cripple you and keep you sedentary. It wants to keep you sitting. It wants to keep you right where you're at. And that's why the devil loves to work with guilt with people, because it is crippling. It gets in your mind. It makes you think that you're so awful. One of the things about navigating through guilt that you have to get to is you have to have something inside of you that says, you know what, it really doesn't matter what I am. It matters that he loves me and he calls me his own. What does he say about me? What does he have to say? A lot of times our guilt comes from the fact that we know what everybody else has said or thought about us. Many times, guilt lingers and it stays because somebody close to us, we feel, is holding something against us. And so we feel like we got to stay in that place of guilt. A lot of times, we hurt the people that we love the most. A lot of times, there's misunderstandings that never get resolved between people that love each other the most. And then we walk around with guilt, because we never cleared that up. How many of you, right now in your life, you've got something going on with another person that you love, and that relationship isn't going real good because there's some things in between you, and you're feeling guilty over that? I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. That's why we're preaching this. That's why we're on part three of this. When you go to the doctor and the doctor says there's cancer in your body, you want a doctor that is professional enough to say, here's what your problem is. God has decided to clear this up with people at the beginning of 2025, and he started with your pastor. I have my stuff too. And many times I walk around wounded because that guilt is still there, because I feel bad about things that I can't change. Or we feel we can't change them. Let me say it that way. There's some things about the situation that can change, and then there's some things about the situation we can't, because we can't go back in time. But what we can change is how we look at it, how we allow ourselves to feel about it, how much of it that we give to God. There are lots of things about your situation that you can change, and that change, it starts with you. And so here, a lot of our guilt comes from how people closest feel about us, because there was something that's gone on. It's terrible when things get in between people that you love and you. It really, really is. I encourage you today to work through that as much as you can. As much as you can. And what you can't, allow God to do the rest. You can't control the thoughts of other people. You cannot control what other people think of you. You cannot control what other people think of you. So if your guilt is wrapped up in that they think that you're a bad person, and they think that you're a bad this and you that, that part of your guilt you need to give over to Christ, because you can't control how they think about you. And I will say this right here. Many, many times, how many of you would admit to being an overthinker? We need a special help group just for those folks. Deliverance ceremony for sure. Okay. I will say this. Many times in our overthinking, we are thinking someone else is thinking something that they are not thinking. I'm going to say that one more time, because that's a tongue twister. Okay? Many times in our life, we are thinking that someone else is thinking something, and just by that thinking that, we may get ourselves offended at them because we think that they're thinking something. When that person, they're actually not thinking about you at all. Do you see how serious that guilt is? Guilt will keep you. And the devil's so crafty, he just gives it to you in increments. I can't tell you how many times somebody has said, "Pastor, are you mad at me? Have I done something?" Look here. Most of the time, if I'm mad at you, you're going to know it. All right? And I'll say, "No. What did I do that makes you think that I'm mad at you?" "Well, you didn't shake my hand." "Look here. I never knew that being a pastor was going to turn me into a plumber, an electrician, somebody that had to worry about the roofs leaking, the carpet ain't the right color for Sally Sue, nobody's comfortable with the air." It just goes on and on. Stop thinking about what other people are thinking, and stop feeling guilty about what you feel like they're feeling. And I got some more news for you that's probably not real pleasant while we're on it. How many of you got grown kids? I'm going to give you some of the best advice I feel like a pastor could give you, and I'm speaking from the platform of a grown child. Y'all raise your hands again, because I, honest to God, I think that God wants to deliver some people that's got some grown kids. Stop feeling guilty about what your grown kid did. Stop it. Stop feeling guilty about what your grown kid did. They're grown. They made their choices. And you say, "Well, I feel guilty because I should have done better raising them." You know what? You still raise them. You're raising them up in prayer, so get to doing that. But you lay that guilt down. Because, see, that guilt ain't helping you with your kid. I'm going to speak from my own personal life. And I hate doing that sometimes because it makes me have to get up here and preach about some of the dumb stuff I've done that I'm ashamed of, and I don't like it, but it's why God called me. God knew that no matter what, I would get up here and I'd preach it even if it made me look bad. Why? Because I care more about people going to heaven than I care about what I look like. Now look, him and my mother, they've been married for over 50 years. You know how guilty they felt when they had to watch their children's marriages just fall apart?
No, we was mad.
They was mad, but there was a point where he felt bad about it.
No,
you can't help what goes on with your kid when they're grown.
Amen.
And if they're doing something you're not proud of, stop taking that guilt and keeping it for yourself. That wasn't even in the message, but here we are. And as she stood behind him, we're talking about the sinner girl, the sinner gal. And these Pharisees, we have modern day Pharisees, and you know what? You need to stay away from them, because every time you get around a Pharisee, you're going to always come up feeling bad about yourself. Feeling less than, feeling like all the stuff you did, God's never going to forgive you for it. Look here, God forgives you for it.
Glory to God.
Now, what he wants from you is not that hard to figure out. He wants you to stop doing what you're doing that got you feeling guilty to begin with.
Amen.
Admit it and quit it. So she brought this alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping. So here she is, the bad apple of the town. Those are always the most precious people, by the way. They're rough, but they're precious. She gets up there with Jesus, and she gets her alabaster jar of perfume, and she was standing behind him at his feet, and she just began to weep. And here's what I can tell you about guilt. What do you need for guilt? You need to get in his presence. You need to get into his presence, because there's something about being in the presence of God that'll just, it washes away all of the stuff that you feel like you are that you're not proud of. A lot of folks, you can tell when people are ready to stop and they're ready to stop doing what they've been doing, because you'll see them. They want to be wherever they feel like God is. And I'm going to tell you, God does not live in this church. He don't live here. He lives inside of you. I like when people come into this church and say, oh, it feels so peaceful in here. Look here, you don't need a building to make you feel the peace of God. What you need is the peace of God up inside of your heart. And you can get that only in one way, and it's going to God and say, God, clear me out of all the things that's tearing me up on the inside. Get into his presence. You know why a lot of people quit going to church? They don't want to feel any type of conviction. Well, the pastor said something I didn't agree with, so I'm quitting that church. Guess what? You go to another church. Guess what you're going to get there? Unless you get a pastor that's a peon and a hireling, then you're going to get a pastor that loves God more than he loves you sitting in your seat. And guess what? He's going to say something, or she's going to say something, and it's going to convict you. Then you're going to want to leave there. Look here, God did not call you to be a church hopper. He called you to be rooted and planted and established. Why? Because at some point, you got to grow in Christ and not keep being, you know, there's people that, and they've been saved, and don't get offended. I'm not pointing anybody out, because some of them don't go here. Some of them do go here. But look here. I know people, Johnny, they've been saved for 30 years, and they're still drinking a baba as far as the Word of God's concerned.
Yep.
At some point, God wants to give you the gift of a steak knife, and he wants you to eat some steak. And you can't do that if you're getting offended every time you turn around. So here she is. Just his presence. Just getting in his presence. She just breaks and she just begins to weep. Just begins to weep. Tears are like a healing balm to us. And the Word of God says that he collects those tears in his vessel. I believe that God knows exactly how many tears you've cried about what you're going through. Not one tear will go to waste. But if you're crying over things that you feel guilty about, it's time to move on. It's time to be healed from those things that's caused you a lot of pain and a lot of grief. And as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair, and she kissed them and poured perfume on them. You know, she didn't just spritz her a little bit of that perfume. That perfume was very valuable. Very valuable. And the Word says that she literally poured it on him. You say, Pastor Kelly, what do I do about this guilt that I feel inside of me? Look here, I'm going to ask you to open yourself up and pour yourself out to him. Get at the feet of Jesus and pour yourself out to him. You know, I've had my moments that I've gotten in his presence and I've just wept and I've told God, God, I could never tell you how sorry that I am. God, I'm so sorry. Now, how many of you have children in here? How many of you, your baby, your kid, has ever come to you and they've said, I'm sorry? If you see, the Word says it compares us to him. Now, you fathers giving good gifts to your children, how much more do you think God can do for your kid? How much more do you think God does for his children? Now, I'm going to tell you something. Would it not get to a point if your kid kept coming back to you, Jeff, and kept coming about the same thing? I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. At one point, would you not be, stop coming to me and telling me you're sorry because I've done, that's over. Do you want to keep your kid in that sorry position constantly? Coco does that to me all the time. Mom, I'm so sorry, I'm sorry. It'll be over something little. And finally, I just say to him, Coco, I want you to stop being sorry about it because that was several hours ago. I'm over it. And I find that we continually want to tell God how sorry we are, and it's not because God ain't forgiven it. It's because we haven't forgiven ourselves for it, and we're still stuck on it. And because we're stuck on it, we feel an immense amount of guilt over it. My husband does this with me sometimes. I'll be telling him something. And it's hard to be a pastor when you have a personal problem. Because you know what to tell yourself. Because you know what you tell everybody else to do. But it's hard for me to tell myself what to do. Because myself don't want to listen to my own advice. And Frank's always like, well, what would you tell somebody else? Well, that's easy. I would tell him, da 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 da. And he goes, well, tell yourself that. And that's hard for me to do because I'm harder on myself than I am anybody else. Frank's like, you love axe murderers, Kelly. I mean, I could defend anybody. I could love on anybody. So here she is. She poured out that perfume. She cleaned his feet with their tears, wiped them, dried them off with their hair, kissed his feet, and poured perfume. People say, God, what do you really want from me? Have you ever been in a place and you say, what does God really, really want from me? What does he want? Go with me to Psalms 51. We're going to look at verse 14 through 17. And it says here, Psalm chapter 51, verse 14 through 17. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God. Here it is. What does God really want? Are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. What does God truly, truly want from people? When you've messed up, when you feel that guilt, what does he want out of you? Well, what do you want out of your own kids? Johnny's got three kids. Two of those are twin boys. He tells me stories all the time about what they used to do when they were little. He's a good dad. At the end of the day, Johnny, when your kids really do something, don't you just want them to just be sorry that they did it and never do it again? A broken and a contrite heart. The problem with this generation and this society that we're living in right now is we have called wrong right so much that a lot of people don't have a good conscience and they can't even decipher between right and wrong anymore. Amen? And so the problem is that because we live in that type of society, we don't get broken about anything that we do. Ask my kids when they do something bad at school. Well, you know, don't you think that was wrong? Well, no, because this one over here did this and this one did that. No, it was wrong because you did it. And you know better. A broken and a contrite heart. What is that? A heart that is deeply remorseful and humbled, recognizing its own sinfulness and brokenness, often associated with a sincere desire for repentance and forgiveness. God wants you to hate the thing that came in between you and him. Why? Because he don't want anything in between you and him. Whatever that thing is. Go with me back to Luke chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 38 again. It says, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Verse 39. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man, and he's talking about Jesus, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman that she is, that she's a sinner. So here's the Pharisee. He has observed this woman doing this. And he has said, well, if Jesus was any type of prophet, he'd know who was touching him because she's straight up gross. She's a sinful woman. Shame on her. You're going to have Pharisees in your life. Don't let them keep you from going to Christ and pouring yourself out to him and making it right. We got A lot of people got lots of excuses of why they ain't still done with stuff. Well, if I come to church, then, you know, my drug buddies, they're going to think that I'm this way or that way or whatever, and then if I go ahead and do it again with them, then they're going to call me a hypocrite. We need to be done thinking about whatever I was thinking about. And stop living guilty. And just say, God, I am going to try my very, very best. Lord, help me in every day. Help me in every moment of every day, because, God, I cannot do it all on my own. So there's the Pharisee. And here was my question when I was reading this. I thought, did the Pharisee not understand that he too was a sinner? How do I know that he was? Because the Word of God says, for we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The other side of guilt is this right here. And I challenge you with this. Do not be somebody that's causing someone else to feel guilt. Do not be somebody that's contributing to someone else's heart being full of guilt. No, you can't control what they feel, but you can contribute to it. And if you do, that's wrong. I can speak out of my own life, and I've had issues with people that I love very, very much. And I've always said, every person needs a board of directors in their life, per se. Two or three people that you really trust, and you know that you know that you know that they love you enough to tell you when you're wrong. Those people need to be able to speak into your life, and you need to not get offended at them. Well, I have those people in my life. Me and one of them have gotten crossways. I'm going to teach you out of the best thing that I know, which is the Word of God and my own life. I'm going to teach you the Word because the Word is truth. I'm going to teach you out of my own life because it's going to make me relatable to you. And I'm going to tell you all of my dirty things because, you know what? When you walk out the door, I want you to have the courage enough to look at your own life. And say, you know what, if Pastor Kelly can keep that real, I need to keep that real. Well, Rita, we've gotten cross. And there has been too much time that's gone by, and now it's just awkward and weird. I'm going to tell you, don't let the devil get up in there between people that you love. Don't let him get in there between people that you love. And the amount of guilt that I feel over it is immense. Several months ago, God said, Kelly, you need to do your best to bring this to some type of place where at least the communication is open. So I just began to send this person text as I felt God leading me to do so. If something happened that I would have normally sent them, I just started sending it. Why? Because as far as it concerns me, I want to live at peace with them. I want them back in my life, but more than I want them back in my life, I don't want to feel the guilt that's in that situation. Why? Because guilt will make you feel bad about everything that you've ever done. What caused me and this person to get crossways? They wanted to speak into my life, and I didn't want them to. Was what they were saying right? Well, half of it. And it was at a bad season and a bad moment in my life, and in a moment, see, I'm going to ask you to keep Christ really, really close to you because, see, in a moment, you can mess some things up that can't They can't get fixed super easy. And in a moment, that hot-blooded Italianness got all up in me, and I just told the person plumb smooth off, for every person that had ever hurt me, every person that had ever done wrong to me, Brenda, it just all come out. And it wasn't even all directed at them, but man, it was just like I had in a moment's time gotten so fed up and gotten so irritated that out it came. And I've lived with that guilt for about 3 years. And I'm overwhelmed with it at times. I'm broken about it all the time. See, if God's word can't work for everybody, what are we doing? And I've just had to come to that place where I said, God, I accept that your word is also for me. The devil will give you every reason why you can't receive what God has for you. But the promises of God are yes and amen. What does that mean? They're for you. And Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Verse 41, two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. And neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which one of them will love him more? Well, obviously, one that owed him more. You got somebody that owes 50 and somebody that owes 500. Their debts were canceled. Who appreciates that more? Probably the person that owed the 500. And also, by the way, a denarii was a coin that was usually worth one day's work. So you got somebody that owed about 500 days' work and somebody that owed about 50 days' work. If that puts it into perspective for you. Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. Jesus said, you have judged correctly. And then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. I'm going to tell you right here and right now, none of us, and I mean none of us, had the ability to pay what we owed. None of us, not even the best person in the place, none of us could have ever paid what we owed. Sometimes we feel guilty because God just forgives us. And we say, well, I deserved something really awful. And I'm going to just keep it so real with you. What we deserved was hell. But we have a God that loves us so much that he couldn't stand that for us. And so he gave the only thing that was acceptable, which was his son, who had never done anything wrong. And he gave his son for our sin, the very sin that we feel the guilt about. He gave his sin for that. So when he tells you your debt's been paid, you need to accept it and receive it, because there was a very high price that was paid for you to be able to walk and talk in wholeness, not in a broken state. Verse 47, therefore, I tell you that her many sins have been forgiven because she loved much. She loved much. I'm going to ask you this morning to love God more than you love holding on to that guilt. I'm going to ask Him to ask you to love God more than you love being mean and mad at yourself. I'm not giving you a free pass for sinning, but I'm asking you as your pastor, as your friend, as somebody that loves you, as someone that wants to see you have a good life, I'm going to ask you to give up that guilt. Because it will keep you there. I encourage you to look into your life and think, what would I have owed if He wouldn't have paid it? What would I owe? How much? Think about how much God has forgiven. And think about how much you would have owed if He couldn't have forgiven you. Take it personal what He did. And know that He loves you so much that He doesn't want that guilt staying there. He had to send a little woman to the Pharisee's house to teach everybody, even the sinner gets forgiveness. Mr. Pharisee. And guess what? You're a sinner too. Her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who had been forgiven little, loves little. Verse 48. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And the other guests began to talk among themselves. Who is this who even forgives sin? Who has the ability to forgive sin? God. Who has the ability to wipe it away and make it like it never happened? God. Christ's forgiveness cancels the debt of sin. Verse 50. Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. And then he tells her something. And this is a promise. And the promise is this. He says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. It's hard for a guilty person to live in peace and to go in peace. He not only tells her to go, your faith has saved you, but he says, when you go, go in peace. Go in peace. What was he saying? When you leave out from me, when you leave my presence, you're going and you are going in peace. I have forgiven your sins. We need to receive the forgiveness. And more importantly, we need to go in peace. Some of us feel so guilty. We want to get rid of that guilt. And we want to go in peace, but we're having trouble going in peace and leaving the guilt. Maybe it's become attached to you so much that you don't even realize that it's clung on to you. But God's trying to shake you, and He's trying to move you, and He's trying to get you to see, I don't want that in your life anymore. I don't want you to feel guilty anymore. I want you to go in peace. I'm going to ask you this morning, are you having trouble going in peace? Are you having trouble leaving the guilt behind you? If you are, I'm going to ask you to stand. Because, see, it's very, very important that the way that you go, because see, if you can't go in peace, that guilt's sticking with you. Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over each person that stands right now. And God, I ask you right now that, Lord, as we go, as you send us out, God, I speak to peace that needs to be coming into these hearts. Lord, right now, I tell guilt to leave in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the peace of God that's passing all understanding right now. Lord, I ask you to help us to lay that guilt down. If you're standing up and you're saying, I don't want to feel this guilt anymore, I want you to begin to tell yourself, guilt, you're leaving. Guilt, I'm laying you down right now. What are you taking up? You're taking his peace. You're receiving the peace of God that passes all understanding. When the devil comes in, and he will, and he tries to make you feel guilty again, you need to understand that that's already been paid for, and it's old news, and it's behind you. Lord, I thank you right now that you're working on hearts in Jesus' name. I'm going to hand this service over to Pastor Angelo. He's going to be using the green microphone.